On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we have a special guest, Chris Thompson, a drummer from Vampire Weekend.
Mike's new friend.
And also a Dynamite Nets fan. He's going to join us on the show to do reasons to be positive, things to be excited about this Brooklyn Nets season. But before that, Brian and I are going to chop it up and call for Steve Nash to be fired. Hey.
Whoa. That coming up next.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself on the paywall at TheAthletic.com/Glue Guys, a subsidiary of the New York Times. Brian, we missed opportunity.
Okay.
Can I just say that? We have Chris Thompson on from Vampire Weekend, and your hello, your angelic entryway into this podcast. I mean, one, Chris has DM'd us and said that he wants you to give him a hello when he comes on the show.
Is that true? I don't believe you, but
I think there's a future where you're like the backup singer.
Oh,
like you're
where
one
I get
of the
discovered
people, like,
on the podcast.
Dancing.
Yeah,
I've never been to a concert, Vampire Weekend concert, but they must have backup singers, right?
Like, surely. No,
like Jennifer Hudson does. Isn't everyone like Jennifer?
Is this your
Hudson
way of vying for Vampire Weekend tickets, Mike? Well, I've never been to a show.
So. I've never seen music. Yeah. This is it. This is the whole charade.
Okay, I'm with it.
We started this podcast to get free stuff.
Yeah. Hasn't worked
and
out.
We haven't gotten a single thing. I got some Athletic Greens stuff, and
you've been holding out. The Athletic Greens. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. They ask the salespeople ask, who should we send it to, Brian or you? And I say, give it to me.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I got the CBD gummies from Eagle Moon Hemp. That made me high.
Actually get you high. I feel like CBD can't get you high. That's a placebo.
Did I not tell you this? Just real quick.
Okay.
Before we get started on the show, again, Chris is going to come on. We're going to do things to be excited about this Brooklyn Nets season because, you know, so much of the dialogue around the team is dark. It's trade requests, vaccination mandates, people getting fired, billionaires flying on private jets.
And it's all about Ben Simmons' free throw percentage and the three-point shot. What about what he can do, Mike? Enough about what he can't do. What about what he can do?
That's the Ben Simmons argument himself, and I appreciate it to a very high degree. But just quickly, CBD gummies. I got sent a package of stuff, free stuff. Didn't order it. Got it. I took it. There was a pack of two gummies in one bag, and I was like, I need a sugar fix.
Mm-hmm.
It was the attempt by Eagle Moon Hemp to sort of, you know, there's like the gray area between a legal amount of THC and legal, and it was like in the gray area.
Anything with two gummies in it, I would be pretty suspicious of. That feels...
As I did the forensics on that day, that was what I should have realized as being like, just having two gummies in a vacuum sealed packaging should have tipped me off. So I didn't realize I was.
But you were fine. You're just a giggle butt when you get going, right? I mean, like,
there were so many giggles, and I had just eaten Dairy Queen, so it was a great day
for me. It's a Russian roulette of just harrowing anxiety attack for weed for me. So better you than me.
Speaking of anxiety, again, we're going to talk positivity, but we had our show post media day, one of the most exciting media days in NBA history. We didn't really touch on Steve Nash, and I think Steve Nash had a quote. I think it came out yesterday. Nets Daily did a fantastic job pulling these quotes and really putting it in context. Matthew Brooks wrote this story. You know, he was asked specifically, hey, so Kevin Durant seemed to want you fired. How has it been? And Steve Nash did the thing where he says, I have a long history with Kevin. I love the guy. Families have issues. We had a moment, and it's behind us. A moment. If you are Steve Nash, okay, how do you feel right now?
It's just
How should you feel?
It's just family stuff, you know, when you want to fire your father, you know, fire brother or sister. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like Steve Nash is generally a pretty placid dude. Like, it doesn't seem like he gets very ruffled for really any reason. So I take him at his word that he's like, yeah, we fixed it. It's fine. It's all good. Which is why, in general, you know, we keep going back to this talking point, but him as a sort of political figure more so than, and we'll get into the why I think it's so important that he has strong assistant coaches behind him, because, you know, for a lot of reasons, which is part of the positives, Mike, we got some good assistant coaches. But he's much more of a political figure. And so in, you know, insofar as he's keeping those very rocky waters calm these days, you know, that's, what can you ask for more than that? He's just, you know, whatever, water under the bridge. You know, if he was a Lionel Hollins type, we would get a different response, but he's not.
Sleepy Steve Nash. Sleepy Steve Nash asleep at the wheel.
What did you expect? Not ready to handle. You wanted him to hammerjack him. You wanted him to go. He was like, the man came for my job, so get ready to ride the bench, KD.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, he said the correct thing in the moment. I just think as a larger issue, like, we've talked about this before, there's a distinct separation between the general manager and the players. Like, the general manager's not there in the locker room. So while Kevin Durant may be saying, hey, we need to fire Sean Marks, you know, there's an easy separation. Again, Last Dance documentary, they all hated Jerry Krause, and yet Jerry Krause, you know, was able to maintain his job and still had a contribution to the six championships in whatever it was, 8 years. But Steve Nash is in the locker room. He is there with them on a daily basis. And what Kevin Durant talked about his problem. So when he explained at Media Day why he wanted a change, why he requested the change, was about culture. It was about the 10-game losing streak, which we detailed again in our pod, which is a very explainable 10-game losing streak, partly because James Harden is just like did not want to be here. By the way, did you see the quote from James Harden? I don't think it's true, but I mean, he said it, but he was making a joke that he lost 100 pounds from last year.
I believe it. He does look good. He goes up and down so much. It's impressive.
That's why I said he
should be in the UFC. He could fight in, like, you know, like five different weight classes.
Yeah. If you pick apart Durant's words, which I know he loves, he's really not, as much as like he may have wanted Sean Marks fired or not, he's really commenting on the day-to-day culture building of the team, the structure of how the team plays. Because what he was saying was, I've been on teams in the past, and that even when star players are out, like the Warriors and Thunder, when I was on those teams, we still won games. But the Nets, they lost those 10 games in a row without me, and other guys should have stepped up and we should have had a structure. Well, that goes to Steve Nash. So, you know, we are entering one of the most exciting seasons in Nets history from a positive and negative point of view. It is the most varied outcome possible going into the situation. So there's one scenario that if there's discontent early on, people have made a big deal. I don't know if you listened to Zach Lowe's recent podcast.
I heard the rumblings. I heard people in the Discord, shout out to the Discord, were not happy with that podcast. Okay.
I imagine with Nick Friedell specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guy, I mean, okay, here's my defense. So if no one listened to the show, we love Zach Lowe. Okay. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Right. How can you not?
Nick Friedell is the reporter that covers the Nets for ESPN. And he often takes a very critical tact with this team and has over the entire time he's here. Fans of the Nets don't like it.
Yeah.
Because that's decided to be like how he views the team. And justifiably.
Yeah. He's got a little of the Frank Isola approach to when Frank was covering the Knicks. You know,
yeah.
A little antagonistic.
And he's a different breed than maybe some other kind of reporter. So, and he goes on Zach Lowe's show and like just pretty dismissive of the entire Nets possibility that this team could be good, right? Regardless, to get back to Steve Nash, like if there is a head to be chopped off, to be lopped off at the sacrifice of the altar of the talent that is on this roster that is unrealized, it's Steve Nash. Like, I still think the order of operations, if this season doesn't go well, is they fire Steve Nash, try to bring someone else in. Maybe it's Mike D'Antoni for a partial season. And then it's like, then if that doesn't work, then everything blows up. And they trade Kevin Durant and Kyrie leaves for nothing. And then it's Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas's, and Kessler Edwards's team. It's the Kess Ben Cam show. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just saying, I think the most amount of pressure is on Steve Nash at this moment because he has to control the maelstrom that is your Brooklyn Nets.
One addendum to what you said, if we're trading Kevin Durant, safe to assume we'll get something for Kyrie Irving at the same time.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. But again, wait, this is the positive episode. What did I just do?
I don't want to go down the road of like,
none of that's going to happen. This is going to be an awesome season. Okay, so just scratch what I just said.
Yeah. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Coming back, we'll have Chris Thompson from Vampire Weekend, big Nets fan. We're going to do things we are excited about this season, Brian.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, joining us on the show, Chris Thompson from Dams of the West, Vampire Weekend. Chris, this is a podcast. Obviously, there's a YouTube extension. Describe what is happening, where you are in the world. You have a t-shirt and you have a poster, and I think those are guitars, but yes.
There's a lot of instruments. I'm in my studio in Los Angeles, where I work most of the time. And I'm wearing a shirt that I found that is sort of a hype-up shirt from, you know, when I fell in love with the Nets. Unfortunately. And then also behind me, yes, I know that there's a visual component with your YouTube channel. You know, smash that subscribe and like button.
If I'm not wrong. Jacket, please.
This is my one of my most prized possessions. It's a family heirloom that it's from the 03 season, 02, 03 season. And you know, when they print up, probably at 1-1 or 2-2, they printed up posters for both teams. And so this poster says
an NBA champion, like, yes, poster. Yes.
An NBA champions. We won it all. Yeah. One of the best days of my life.
What I like is that also a Vince Carter plus Kenyon Martin t-shirt that they.
It's sort of the whole. It's the whole squad.
Yeah, because they and is that Kenyon Martin twice? There's just so many like little interesting details on.
Well, it's Jason Kidd twice, isn't it?
Is it? It's a shirt.
We got the coach on the back and everything. It's the
Richard
whole.
Jefferson has hair. Yeah, fantastic. So where did you get this poster that the Nets won the NBA championship?
I've spent a lot of time, not in the past couple of years, but certainly I've spent a lot of time on eBay just searching New Jersey Nets to see what comes up, as we all do.
Yeah.
As the entire Glue Guys Nation does.
Of course.
eBay.com/glue, 10% off. Don't do that.
That's where my gut is. Keith Bogan's custom jersey.
Still have that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
So I found it. I bet if last time I checked, which was a while ago, they sort of had a box. So there are still some available if you want to join me in this alternate world history.
I'm
looking it up. There are some amazing, if you just, I mean, I Googled on eBay, not Googled, searched New Jersey Nets championship poster. They are fantastic. There's an Ed O'Banion, some fantastic Jason Kidd, a Keith Van Horn. Posters back, Derek Coleman with Deliverance as the, I don't know if you guys remember that one. This is fantastic. What has happened to posters? Well, Chris, thank you for doing this. This is a pure dream.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here when the Nets are already 1-0 because we won Media Day.
True.
We're already 1-0, undefeated.
Do you think they should have Media Days for music? I remember watching the Eagles documentary and they had like press conferences. You guys don't really, do you have to do press conferences as musicians and does that happen anymore?
Not a lot, to be honest. Vampire Weekend did one once in 2010 when we played Indonesia.
I remember that. I was there. Yep.
Yeah.
That was great.
I think it was because we were just so far from home, and there it was just easier to kind of sit in one place as people ask questions. It was the Eagles, we are not. But that was sort of the one time that happens. I think generally it's more, you know, people want that personal touch. Mm-hmm. It's more the locker room huddle, than the press conference, I think.
Totally. Do you think winning Media Day, as they did, they completely dominated, does that have any impact on your feelings and thoughts about this season?
I mean, no, of course not. I mean, I did agree with one point you guys made last episode, that I don't think that they should have to do the interviews in their uniforms.
Thank you.
It's not even just a temperature thing. It's just like, it's weird, like, we're for show. We're hoopers, man. And there's a weird element to it that I find, like, they can
it
just...
It is, yeah, like, shiny object on the pedestal thing. It's got a weird power dynamic in both ways that I don't love.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, just let them wear what they want. They're adults. They're, you know, if they want to go up as hoopers, that, you know, that's their choice. No, I mean, I think you guys covered this probably plenty, but... Media Day doesn't really strike me like the place for actual honesty, or, you know, it's a place for narratives. It's a place to like say what you think you should say. I don't get the sense that there's a lot of like raw emotional truth. Mm. Players are smart enough to know that why would you give that away for free on Media Day?
Yeah. When you can put it on your Twitch stream. That's exactly that's where that goes.
Yeah.
Who would you most want to see raw emotional truth from? If you had to pick, I think we asked this to Alex Schiffer when we had him on last week, the truth serum question. Like, who would you most want to dig into their brain and actually know what's going on?
You know what? I kind of feel like maybe if I could combo, I'd do Marks Nash, because I feel like they're...
Sure.
We'll see how long they one or the other last or whatever this year, but I do feel like their perspective is pretty interesting in all this, and ultimately... their public facing job is to not be controversial and take a step back and support the players. And so I think that if anything, their answers are always going to be the most calculated or something. So I would be very curious to hear like how the summer was for them. Cause I don't think that what they said on Media Day was necessarily, you know, how they actually feel.
Yeah. And this is very unfair to Steve Nash. Like, he's a tremendous competitor. What, 2 MVPs as a player? Rose up from Santa Clara, I think, is where he went to school, and became the MVP and all that stuff. Extremely competitive person. But as a coach, I don't see the fire. I don't see the drive. Okay,
this is some Skip Bayless ass.
Him caring
right
more
here.
About TikTok. Yeah. Doing TikToks with his kids. Okay. No, I would like to know what he thinks in particularly. I mean, my truth serum answer was Kevin Durant, just because I really wanted to get, like, I want to get why the trade request really happened. Like, he referenced that the team had a 10-game losing streak, and we went through the 10-game losing streak on the last episode. Like, it's actually very explainable what happened. You know, partly COVID vaccine issues, mandates, and James Harden being a bad basketball player for an unexplainable stretch and then deciding to leave the team. But it's still like was Kyrie, how is Kyrie's decision to opt back in? Was it because he didn't get the contract extension? Did that make KD mad? Or was it the fact that Kyrie's still on the team make Kevin Durant mad? And, you know, did he really want Nash and Mark's fired, or was he just trying to make things make it uncomfortable, right? Because there was reporting that Kevin Durant was willing to make things uncomfortable, and then he ultimately decided not to. And now he's back, and
that's a
and
positive,
seemed,
Mike.
And yeah. he seemed thrilled. He seemed overjoyed.
Yeah, as
so,
always.
Great segue, Brian. Mm-hmm. I know you're a master of the communication arts. Mm-hmm. Today on the episode, we're going to be positive. Chris, when I've talked to you on DMs on Twitter, you're a positive person.
I try to be.
You seem excited about the team. So I thought, well, let's take this opportunity. Let's tap into that well of positivity. And let's pick out, each of us can pick out a number of things, 5 things that we are most excited about this season. As our guest, Chris, do you have a list of 5, or is there more as varied.
I mean, Mike's asking if you did your homework. That's what this is.
So I'm treating both you and Brian as the same person on this show, which is, did you do your homework?
I did it sort of last minute.
Yes.
You know,
as
doing
always,
Chris, doing some stuff last night, but I did this morning.
This is a trial period for you to be on the show. And I really I need you to come through here.
An auxiliary glue guy. I want to say before I get to the positivity, which is there at certain levels, I do think that I wanted to say that I think my positivity as a Nets fan comes from the decades and the context and how awful we've generally been. That, and you know, I think like if you've been around for a while, and I know that there are Nets fans who have been around longer than me, but you know, like this is like, I mean, I remember the clean sweep day was like such an incredible day, like an incredible feeling, like
it was pride. It was pride parade in New York City. It was like what a joyous environment to get the tweets. It was amazing.
Vampire Weekend had played Glastonbury that day, which is like like 40,000 people, like, oh my God. And then like, oh my God. It was just a very
Did they announce it at Glastonbury? Everyone's like,
the Killers, the Killers stopped their headline set and said, guys, breaking from Woj. We got our Woj bump. I just feel like there's been so many lows. And part of, I think, the fatalistic humor and context of being a Nets fan is like, historically, we've been so bad and so inept. And just like, it's only ever been like, oh, great, we got a win in there. And then, you know, like the ceiling has never really been, other than the time we won in 2003, has never been like championship level. That, you know, like I think that there's a basic level of positivity of this couple years and a lot of drags on. I wouldn't say it's been fun, but there's chances and opportunity that I'm not used to. So it's like, cool, we'll see what happens. If we don't win, that's normal.
And on the other side of that, there's an emotional moat that you build up against the bad news too. Like you expect, expect the bad. Yeah. Like when Kevin Durant asks for a trade, it's like, okay, I get it.
Of course, naturally. It will
ruin my summer. But
that was that was kind of the thing. The clean sweep day. I was wondering, and I will see. Kind of feels like I was wondering what the aura of the franchise could that counteract the greatness of Kevin and Kyrie, and it seems like the badness of the Nets is sort of like maybe overpowering the skill of the two superstars.
It's leaching into them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you ask some Nets fans, they would say that Kevin and Kyrie have screwed up Nets culture. The Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, remember how the D'Angelo Russell, how exciting.
Remember that Kings game? Our arch rivals, the Kings?
Oh my God. The Kings. The Kings, there's going to be a 30 for 30 Kings v Nets, and it's going to be two games, but it's going to be fantastic.
I just want to get that out of the way. So there is positivity. I'm aware that like this team is still sort of gnarly in a lot of ways, but like let's be positive. I was told to be positive, so let's be positive.
There you go.
And I think Brian, you'll agree with this. It is in true glue guys fashion to, even when we're about to do something positive, is to couch it in dread, negativity, for longing for a future where it's never going to exist.
Can I even expand this into it's a Northeast / New Jersey thing? Is like the dread component, or to preface everything. But yeah, but let's go positive, Mike.
Okay. Chris, wait, can you just flash your, I just want to see how you wrote it. Is it on a,
it's very minimal. It's on a little like a note card.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Brian, where's your list?
I have the equivalent of that on my desktop, but yeah.
Okay, Chris, start us off. Why are you excited? What is a thing you're excited about this season?
A thing that I'm excited about for this upcoming Nets season is my guy Ben Simmons. He's back, baby.
That's top of my list too.
An incredibly skilled basketball player. Now, is he incredibly skilled at every skill in basketball? Maybe not. But at most of the skills in basketball, most certainly. And I feel like this also. I also feel like he kind of, speaking of the legendary Nets culture of the early teens, 20 teens, you know, he's a classic Nets project, right? Like an undervalued, distressed asset.
Anthony Bennett.
Come on. My God.
Remember getting hyped for that signing?
So he's a distressed asset that I feel like, and you know, granted, he was, we gave up a big piece to get him, but still, you know, I feel like I would like to think he's motivated. It seems like he's motivated. He's out there doing podcast interviews, chopping it up. That to me presents something of, you know, of a certain, at least a base level of confidence that he's ready to play. He's psyched to be part of the team.
Most people don't know that Muhammad Ali did a podcast interview before the Thrilla in Manila. Like so the podcast interviews is a long history in sports leading to greatness. Just wanted to add that in. Yes.
Of just, you know, he seems like he's ready to play and put the last year plus whatever behind him. And I'm excited because I do think being excited about him is also a smaller version of being excited about the team on paper, which has also been true for a couple of years and hasn't really worked out, but although almost did, you know, 2 years ago. But I mean, like the skill, definitely like a few holes, but like the
a few holes. Yeah.
The I feel like the positions that are the hardest to fill, the superstars, the shooting, the stuff that teams want. I think the Swiss Army knife that Ben Simmons can be when he's healthy and playing. We've got all that. And I feel like if it clicks, which is a big if, like, we'll be sick.
Yeah. So. And to add on that, like, we talked about this in a previous episode, but at times, for long periods of time last season, the on-court product, just entertainment-wise, was a bit of a slog during the James Harden era. And for that reason alone, I'm pretty excited to integrate for a fully integrated Ben Simmons, just because, you know, in his quotes during media day, playing faster, came up multiple times, you know, that kind of stuff makes me excited. You know, you want to watch something you're enjoying, and, you know, wins are great, but also, like, that James Harden-led offense was, holy God, was that boring to watch.
Yeah. Besides that little stretch of time when he first got to the Nets,
yeah,
when James Harden was playing real basketball, and then it just devolved into, like, the lineups when it was James Harden with Kessler Edwards, De'Ron Sharp, James Johnson, and Patty Mills. Disgusting. Ben Simmons, exciting. They're, like, as you said, Chris, it's very Netsian that he's a Net. Like, he's the perfect unrealized potential. There's some issue overall. He gets shoved into the team. This is his second chance with some team. I had him on my list too. I had him even more specifically of, like, the thing about him in Philly was, of course, Joel Embiid's amazing. But those two, there's classically, like, is there a fit, right? Couldn't those two elevate each other's games to a point where they could win a championship and they didn't do it together? And if you listen to Ben Simmons talking about J.J. Redick, he really hit on the point of when Embiid was out and the Sixers went on a winning streak, and it was like JJ, and there's like other shooters on the floor, Bellinelli, all these other guys with the 76ers, and that's when they went on like on a 16 game winning streak. Ben Simmons, like, I really hope Ben Simmons is good for the Nets' sake, and also that, like, can we see Ben Simmons in shooters, right? The Nets have so much ability in terms of lineups to do Simmons with KD, Kyrie, Joe Harris, Patty Mills, Royce O'Neal, Seth Curry, right? Like, they have so many combinations of shooters that they can put around Simmons. Simmons has never been on a team, really, besides that stretch with J.J. Redick and Bellinelli and people like that, where he just had shooting all around him. And the thrill of Ben Simmons is this guy who can grab the rebound on the defensive end of the floor, push it all the way up, and he's one of the best in the NBA, if you look at statistics, on creating three-point shots for his teammates. And, of course, like, it's not like Kyrie and KD are going to be playing off the ball from Simmons, but, like, we're going to get units where it is Simmons with Curry and Patty Mills and Royce O'Neal and put, like, Joe Harris, like, just, like, randomly within the second units. And we're going to get to see, like, what that actually looks like, what space is created when Simmons is playing with all shooting. Now, like, on the other end, it's like if he plays with Nick Claxton, that won't happen. But, like, there's also the fun side of that being, can you imagine what a Nick Claxton, KD, Ben Simmons front court could be in terms of switchability and defense? Like, Simmons has, he's just way more fun, as Brian said. Like, it's just like a way more fun player. He has the holes, the very glaring holes, but as Christian Winfield tweeted out, he's shooting free throws in practice right now.
Oh,
swishing
them.
Love it. Like, he, you know, what if he comes out? He's hitting shots. How exciting would that be? Brian.
Yeah.
What's give me another one on your list?
Igor Kukasev. Kukaskov. A name? Are you familiar with anybody here familiar with that name? Because that's the
assistant
new
coach.
That's the new assistant coach. Because you know we talk about Steve Nash being a.
I did not anticipate Igor
with,
popping
with
up
the
on
full
this.
Top of the list
with
baby.
All the flair yeah. of the accent and everything. Yeah, I wanted to lead with. I did a deep dive on Igor. So Nash obviously was at his best when he was backed up by D'Antoni. He's a great politician. We like Steve Nash's and his ability to calm these waters. But in terms of on-court praxis, maybe not the floor general he was as a player, potentially. I don't know. Maybe he's got something to prove this season. We'll see. But in the absence of that, the guy's chops, Igor's chops, are second to none. He was there during the Suns period, sort of under the tutelage. I mean, this is sort of post D'Antoni, but still got the inflection of the D'Antoni offense. Had a stint with the Jazz, spin around, was teaching the Eurostep in the year 1999 of our Lord. Oh. And is credited.
The king of the Eurostep?
Yeah, was credited.
The godfather.
The godfather of it. And is credited for popularizing it. In the U.S. game. So a forward-thinking basketball mastermind, okay, potentially lurking in our management. So I'm excited because I feel like Steve Nash needs forward-thinking masterminds in his staff. And not to say that, you know, we haven't, you know, that other people haven't been there and done great work, whatever. It's just you want some real credentials back there. And also, you know, Serbian glow-up, you know, is part of this enormous phenomenon in Serbian basketball. So, you know, shout out to Serbia.
Can I ask one question about what you said?
Yeah.
Is you sort of want to like give a pass on Steve Nash? You know, he's been the coach for a few years now, and granted it's been wild circumstances, but I would say he definitely has something to prove.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like
totally. Well, I think about it as like min-maxing, you know, like what is he good at? Like he's good at the actual sort of personality management potentially. I don't know. I mean, we're all here again today after some crazy stuff. So in that sense, he did the job in terms of getting people organized to the extent that they actually show up on day one. I feel like I don't need to trust him for on-court things at this point. He represents mostly, you know, an ethic or something more immaterial than that. And I actually, you know, I kind of like the idea of dividing the labor of, you know, your actual X's and O's guys not being the figurehead of the team if you don't need him to be. It'd be great if he was, but, you know, positivity. I'm working with what I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn, this is both a positive and a negative. Igor, if you don't know, he was brought over to be the first European to work as a full-time member of a college basketball coaching staff in 1999 to the University of Missouri. Do you know who the coach was at the University of Missouri in 1999?
I glance right over it. Who is it?
Quinn Snyder.
Yes, right. That's how the Jazz connection.
Yeah. So this is Sean Marks slowly infiltrating Steve Nash's staff with Quinn Snyder heads. And Quinn Snyder is going to take over this team midseason and the Nets are going to win an NBA championship. So thank you. Thank you, Igor, for that. Chris, what is your number two?
My number two is I'm feeling positive about Kyrie's next contract.
Oh, okay.
I feel like, and granted, I would just sort of the grain of salt, media day stuff we talked about earlier, but you know, it kind of feels like, I don't know the man, I know the basketball player and the public entity, but it feels like when he wanted to leave, which seems pretty obvious he did, and he found the market not what he expected it to be, that I think, you know, he made the decision that was right for him and his family to opt back in. He's back on the Nets. I always want to give him the benefit of the doubt because of this era and that picture of him with the Nets hat. Like, I do feel like he is, some part of him is a Nets fan. Some part of his younger self, you know, that I feel like he's going to play really hard. I think I could see obstacles getting in the way of that and maybe it not following through, but I feel like his intention for the year is I'm going to play my ass off and I'm going to get a max contract. I don't care where it is. It's probably not going to be on the Nets. Maybe that's already too broken. But regardless, I think that I feel like he wants, and his talent, obviously, he should get another max contract. that I'm feeling positive that he's going to speak with his play this year and he's going to get it.
Yeah, I do agree with, so I like chip on his shoulder Kyrie on my list. He's rarely had a real chip on his shoulder. He's always kind of floated from after they won the championship in Cleveland. You know, he gets traded to Boston because he knows LeBron has kind of was trying to orchestrate another trade for Kyrie out of town. He's never really had a true chip on his shoulder since winning the championship. He's always kind of gone. When he went into Boston, he thought he was going to be like this galvanizing leader for the team, which didn't happen. He comes here with Kevin Durant. There's not really a chip on his shoulder then because they're like, we're just going to dominate the NBA, but we're going to wait for KD to come. And then we all know what happened there. This is there's a chip. There's a definite chip on that shoulder. As an impinged shoulder, which is something we have to keep watching about. That was from many years ago. But I do agree with Kyrie when he was talking about this, about the stigma of not being vaccinated, was that there's this belief out there that he doesn't want to play basketball, right? And for the most part, you know, part of it's true because he has disappeared at times. Like he disappeared randomly during last season too. And we still don't really know why he disappeared. But when KD was out that first season, Kyrie carried the team. And Kyrie, for the most part, besides injury, because he's just a small guy, like he plays, he does play. It's not like he is, you know, I don't know what comparable it would be, but like he plays basketball, like that's his job. So I'm also excited for the possibility. I'm not saying it could definitely happen, but like I'm excited for the possibility of a version of Kyrie where he is motivated on the court. I do think the Nets should give him load management. Like they should give him 2 weeks off during the year and schedule his PTO now. Go. I'm sure Vampire Weekend doesn't have ADP. It's a software service where you schedule PTO. I'm sure that's not how you guys really do things. But he should schedule his PTO right now in the Nets system and say, you know, I get seasonal defective. What's the one where you effective. Get sad in the winter?
Defective is good, though. That's, yeah.
I get that. I'm going to fly to Miami for 2 weeks and take my respite then during the cold winter months of January. So I think they should schedule that now and just let it have him look forward to that on the calendar. I'm excited for Kyrie Irving. Brian, I know you have to go soon.
Yeah, I bought like an extra couple minutes. We're good.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you give me one of yours right now?
I'm kind of wanting to combine them all into one just because like in general, it's sort of wings. It's all wing centric. Very excited for actually having some medium sized players back in our fold. Because that was, speaking of min maxing, we were doing a lot of min maxing on the court last season. Rotation wise, with smallies and biggies, Mike, but now we got a lot of mediums and, so, like, the combination of Joe Harris, I'm really excited about TJ Warren. I don't know if that's right or not, but the Matt Brooks hype train video for TJ Warren's got me hyped. And I'm kind of beginning to buy some of the hype around that. And then also, like, Cam Thomas coming out of the media day saying all the right things about his main focuses being three-point shooting and playmaking, which is a little bit different from the sort of, you know, the Kobe Bryant-esque style of ISO scoring language, you know, that we had heard in the past. Everything from preseason last year into summer league had been about his just like his scoring ability and how he's a you know top of the line scorer and all that. Now he's at least understood that he's got to shift that narrative just a little bit into playmaking, 3-point shooting stuff. And then going back to Joe Harris stuff, obviously haven't seen him in a while and just love to have him back. Love his presence. So I'm kind of putting that all into a wings umbrella.
Aaron Fever, one of our listeners, said, we spent a whole year without the sensual glow of Joe Harris's three and fist pump. I'm going to pop like a balloon when we get one this season. Yeah. Wings, baby. Let's have a real team. Let's not have a completely end of the spectrum roster that doesn't make sense really in the modern NBA. It's Wings League. It's exciting. Chris, got one more for us? Or you got, how many more do you have?
I can do a lightning round to get to all five. My number three is I'm excited for the Bruce Brown revenge game. on March 19th of 2023.
Circle it.
Circle it.
How are you excited for that? He's going to destroy us.
I mean,
he's going to float all over our bodies.
Well, I feel like, I don't know. I'm excited because I feel like he, I've seen this on Nets Twitter a bit, but like his defection and his like sort of casual honesty, his casual honesty of just like, yeah, it's a little crazy over there. I'm glad I'm not there. Like that's kind of what hurts the most and fuels a lot of the even trying to get positive is tough. Cause it's like the foundation is like, not, it's just so wacky. Yeah. But I think that when I was looking it up, it looks to be a Sunday afternoon primetime game. So ABC, the schedule makers knew that this was everyone's calendar.
Yeah.
Bruce Brown coming back. It's a primetime game. My number four is I'm looking forward to not being soft.
Sure.
The Marquise Morris treatment. Yeah. He really knew how to lean into that talking point too. He's a good brand manager.
I mean, I feel like that's his career is that, right? Yeah. Like, that's who he is. That's who they kind of both are. He's out of the three to it and stuff. But like, you know, I think it's like a silly quote, but you know, I miss the days of Jared Dudley taunting the now Net legend Ben Simmons. You know, like there was there was something, speaking of Nets culture again, that there was like, we were still probably kind of soft, but there was something like there was at least some fight back. And you know, I think maybe his assessment is Markieff's is what it is, but he kind of maxing his own skill set.
Yes.
But I do think he's not wrong, is that like there could be more backbone in general. Maybe that's kind of what it seems like Kevin wanted him on the team. Like that was part of the 10-game losing streak.
Kevin doesn't get involved with, I don't know if you listen to media, he doesn't get involved with personnel.
Right. And the fifth thing, which I kind of mentioned earlier and is more of a hope than a thing that I'm positive about, is I just really hope they're fun to root for. Because even when the Nets have been bad, it's like, it's sports, it's supposed to be fun. And just, it's been a real grind for the last couple of years as a fan. And I'm there, this attachment formed before my brain was fully formed. It's like too deep, I can't get rid of it. But it's like been kind of a bummer. So I really hope that it's like, whatever it shakes out, trade deadline, obviously would love a championship, but I just hope it's fun to root for them. And like they're playing, looks like they're having fun. Just the last couple of years, even with all the talent, it's been a drag. So that's my main, I'm going to be positive. Like they're going to be fun this year.
I think as like a service, Brian, that we should do a guide for Nets fans to enjoy the team. Mm. One of them is like not to follow Kyrie on social media. I think that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's part of my little bit of my less enjoyment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if they like this team could be super, like super fun, as weird as it sounds, as like innocent as it sounds, to see them. If Kyrie, Katie, and Ben Simmons all play basketball with all the shooters around them, that should be a super fun team.
Yeah.
Right. Like that should be a very exciting up and down the floor, popping threes all over the place, individual skill, incredibly, all three of them are different. There's no real duplication. They all should enhance each other at some point.
We can also like recontextualize some things. Like people came down in a weird way with like Kyrie saging,
like Alex Jones,
Kyrie saging stuff. And like, that's a quirky, funny thing to do if in a certain light, but you know, everyone kind of took it and ran with it. It was like, oh, that's a crazy and dark thing to do or something. You know, it kind of had this like strange twinge, just a minor, you know, recalibration.
It's his culture. I don't know. It'd be like me lighting menorah. Like who's, you know,
if I
went around to every arena and just lit a menorah,
that would be quirky. That would be quirky.
That would be.
I like the sage thing. I like the sage thing too.
I got some Palo Santo back here. I light some fires. Different than sage, but you know, still lighting fires.
I'll go real quick. TJ Warren comeback time. I'm excited to see him just being like a Jamal Crawford.
Another classic Nets reclamation project.
Truly.
Just fantastic. Like there's a version of this team where like he would have been the leading scorer this season. With everything blew up potentially. Me falling in love with Royce O'Neal, I know it's gonna happen. I'm excited for it to happen.
Somebody to that point put a great video on Twitter of a game in which he just trolled Jalen Brunson in particular, didn't shoot a single shot, passed the ball immediately, and just hard fouled Jalen Brunson as soon as he touched the ball. And that kind of energy that, you know, paired with Markieff Morris. We could use a little of that.
And this isn't really nice to say, But, you know, let's say the season doesn't go that great and then KD wants to trade again. Hey, I can get on board with trading Kevin Durant
classic blue guys. That's,
I could. That's how many podcasts could we do about that? Like if, you know, it comes out, it's like Shams reports that Kevin Durant has now decided to sit out and wants to be traded.
This is the most classic Smeltz. Like we just did, you know, 30 minutes of positivity to end on the most sour note possible.
I don't hate that. Yeah. I don't hate trade them. Yeah. If they got Scottie Barnes, I'd be excited. Okay. Well, that's falling like a lead balloon, Chris.
I thought he wasn't. I thought he wasn't on the table. That's what I heard. I heard Scottie wasn't on the table.
Yeah. Playing hardball.
Thank you so much for presenting a Nets championship poster and your T-shirt to come prepared. You had your list. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being here. I don't know. Is anything you want to plug? Like, is there things that you want to tell people about? Not that that's why you're here, but you know,
Vampire Weekend, four albums in stores now. And also I've started in the last year, I'm in a new jam band, California's fastest growing new jam band called Taper's Choice.
Ooh,
so my 2 16-year-old passions were Nets and jam bands. So I'm sort of coming back around.
When are we coming to Brooklyn? When can we see?
We play Brooklyn in April. Hopefully we'll get back early next year.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to be great this year.
Yes.
The finals tickets are going to be very expensive, and it's going to be great.
Love it.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being here. Brian, did you want to do a hello in front of Chris to make it really awkward?
Excuse me?
What? Chris wanted you to say hello to him.
Oh. Hello. Oh, fuck.
As a musician, how good is that voice?
It's great. No, I wanted it's your boy is what I was.
Oh, it's your boy. You wanted Mike, it's your you boy. Fucking...
Oh, Jesus.
You would. It's your boy.
Chris, I have to fix my whole sound system to get you a your boy. We'll get you on the we'll send you okay. A your boy on your way out.
Next time we'll check in halfway through the season and see how our positives are working out. I'll keep this.
Yeah.
And we can check back in.
Put that like in the frame of your Nets championship poster. Thank you again so much. Brian, find us on Twitter at bkglueguysnetsdaily.com, The Athletic.
The whole deal. Everyone knows. We're out of here.
And YouTube, smash.
Smash it, always. Bye, everybody.
Bye.